Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Amin, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the hosts, guests, are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. We thank Allah for blessing us with another day here on AM360, and we welcome our audience to another edition of Critical Issues. We have with us our co-host here that's co-hosting this episode of Outwitting the Devil that we've been studying over the last about 3 or 4 months now, since April, I think, mid-April there. So we've come a long way. We're almost getting to the end. Brother Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Mark Shaheed.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Brother Henry Hasib, and to your very astute radio listening audience of AM360 Radio. It's been a pleasure working with you on this outstanding publication by Napoleon Hill of Outwitting the Devil. Such a very substantive, valuable book that has been authored, and now we can see as we continuously unravel the information, the education that was derived from the devil in this book that actually should help to open our eyes up to the workings and the schemes of the devil. This is very, very important for us to know this, and so that we don't become victims of these schemes.
Yes, yes. Well, Mark, what I want to do today, there we got into this four last week. We got into it about 3 or 4 minutes here. I want to start back because I think that was an important part of what it is to bring us on up to where we're going to start with today. So I'm going to play the first 3 or 4 minutes of this, and then we'll get into what we're going to cover today here. But I think the review is important. So without
yes.
any further delay, we will we'll start with the beginning of the discourse.
Doesn't a child owe something in the way of duty to its parents who gave it life and sustenance during its periods of helplessness? Not at all. It is just the other way around. Parents owe their children everything they can give them in the way of knowledge. Beyond that, parents often spoil instead of helping their offspring by a false sense of duty, which prompts them to indulge their children instead of forcing them to seek and gain knowledge at first hand. I see what you mean. Your theory is that too much help thrust upon the youth encourages him to drift and become indefinite in all things. You believe that necessity is a teacher of great sagacity, that defeat carries with it an equivalent virtue, that unearned gifts of every nature may become a curse instead of a blessing. Is that correct? You have stated my philosophy perfectly. My belief is not theory, it is fact. Then you do not advocate prayer as a means of gaining desirable ends. On the contrary, I do advocate prayer, but not the sort of prayer that consists of empty, begging, meaningless words. The sort of prayer against which I am helpless is the prayer of definiteness of purpose. I never thought of definiteness of purpose as being a prayer. How can it be? Definiteness is, in effect, the only sort of prayer upon which one can rely. It places one in the way of using hypnotic rhythm to attain definite ends by the mere act of appropriating it from the great universal storehouse of infinite intelligence. The appropriation, in case you are interested, takes place through definiteness of purpose persistently pursued. Why do the majority of prayers fail? They don't. All prayers bring that for which one prays. But you just said that definiteness of purpose is the only sort of prayer upon which one can rely. Now you say that all prayers bring results. What do you mean? There is nothing inconsistent about it. The majority of people who pray go to prayer only after everything else fails them. Naturally, they go with their minds filled with fear that the prayers will not be answered. Well, their fears are realized. The person who goes to prayer with definiteness of purpose and faith in the attainment of that purpose puts into motion the laws of nature, which transmute one's dominating desires into their physical equivalent. That is all there is to prayer. One form of prayer is negative and brings only negative results. One form is positive and brings definite positive results. Could anything be more simple? People who whine and beg God to assume responsibility for all their troubles and provide them with all the necessities and luxuries of life are too lazy to create what they want and translate it into existence through the power of their own minds. When you hear a person praying for something that he should procure through his own efforts, you may be sure you are listening to a drifter. Infinite intelligence favors only those who understand and adapt themselves to her laws. She makes no discrimination because of fine character or pleasing personality. These things help people negotiate their way through life more harmoniously with one another. But the source from which prayer is answered is not impressed by fine feathers. Nature's law is, know what you want, adapt yourself to my laws, and you shall have it. Does that harmonize with the teachings of Christ? Perfectly. Also, it harmonizes with the teachings of all truly great philosophers.
The preceding question and answer pushed the boundaries of Hill's critique of organized religion versus personal spirituality and responsibility.
Is your theory of definiteness in harmony with the philosophy of man of science? Definiteness is the major difference between a scientist and a drifter. Through the principle of definiteness of purpose and plan, the scientist forces nature to hand over her most profound secrets. It was through this principle that Edison uncovered the secret of the talking machine, the incandescent electric light, and scores of other benefits for mankind. Then I understand that definiteness is the first requisite for success in all earthly undertakings. Is that right? Exactly. Anything which teaches people to examine facts and coordinate them into definite plans through accurate thinking is hard on my profession. If this thirst for definite knowledge now spreading over the world keeps up, my business will be shot to pieces within the next few centuries.
All right, Mark, that gets us up to this is where we stopped off last week here. So I wanted to just pause there for a minute before we go into this week, because I know you had a lot to say on that. But
You know what is really ironic in this book, the infiniteness of intelligence. The infiniteness of intelligence. Just want to alert the radio listening audience in terms of this verbiage that's being used by the devil in outwitting the devil. This infinite of intelligence is being referred to as God, but he's not saying God, and he's not saying Creator. He's referring to God as infinite of intelligence. Infinite of intelligence. How you. Won't be aided or assisted or helped only in just praying. So just to keep from being confused or confounded, he's actually saying that some people pray with, I often term 911 prayer, you know, instead of praying anyway each and every day, as our religion requires that we do 5 obligatory prayers a day, regardless of what your situation may be, he's saying, which is correct. You know, some people only have what they call the 911 prayer. So we know when we call 911, we're truly, truly in trouble. And then, and only then do we remember God. But what is most importantly, when he's talking about prayer, he said it always gets the results. In terms of the state of mind in which you go into prayer. And that acronym that I gave last week, I think can be very helpful. If we understand the prayer paved roads around your efforts routinely, then we see how prayer helps to assist us and get the assistance that is needed by our Lord and Creator. That's very, very important. Whereas that the devil does not recognize God by even saying that this is even the supreme being or the creator. It's saying in terms of your state of mind. In other words, you don't even, in terms of definite a purpose, where you're definite about the purpose or the aim that you have in life. And really, once again, we have to bring this up again, Brother Henry, is that we go to the Quran again in terms of the definite purpose of our creation. In other words, as Imam Muhammad has said, our creative purpose. And we find it in the Quran. We find it in Surah 51, Ayat 56, where Allah has said, I have not created the jinn nor the ints. The ints being the human being in its original nature before it actually comes a birth to earth in terms of being affected by parenting, as we already know how the devil influenced parents and parenting, and also he'll get down to the educators and also the religious class in terms of how they influence and impact in a negative way our children's minds so that they don't become free thinkers, that they don't realize their full potential. And they began and started them off drifting at an early age. This is very, very important that we ultimately have to know our creative purpose, and that is to worship, to serve, and to work for God's cause. So in doing that, when we have to be definite in coming to a realization and a utilization of that in life so that we're able, you understand, to truly serve God through what it is that he has given to us And whatever it is that we make and do our, and asking for God's assistance and help, that God will assist us. God, Almighty God, Allah will assist us in that. And, yes, we do humbly. We go to prayer in humility. We don't go to prayer in arrogance, as I said last week. We don't do, as we have seen, some of my Christian brothers and sisters that demand God, right now, Lord, right now. You know, you don't talk to God like that. As a matter of fact, you don't even talk to, you shouldn't even talk to your parents like that and just order them and command. Right now, Mama. Mm-hmm. Right now, Daddy. Right now. That's totally disrespect. And it's respect to the Creator. But he's referring to God here as the infinite of intelligence. So we should understand the purpose of prayer, you know, but not have the expectation that it is prayer and prayer only that will enable us to accomplish our goals. No, it is the efforts. And what do we have support for that? The Quran, Surah 53, Ayat 39. We can start at 38. No bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. That's 53:38. And then 39 says the human being can only get, the human being can only get, I'm going to say the third time, the human being can only get what they consciously strive for, and the next ayah said, and soon it would be made manifest. So this is very, very important, because Allah tells us how it is that we can get what it is that we are wanting in life. It requires striving, it requires effort, it requires work, in addition to prayer. This is very important. So, you know, when the devil's using all this verbiage, let's not get confused and think that we can just pray everything into existence without any striving, without any effort, or without any work that we have to do. I'll stop there.
Well, yeah, Mark, that's a very important point. And one point that I have come to, that I've come to see, that the devil is saying here that he's the negative force, and remember how careful he is, and this is what opened my eyes to this. He don't, like you said, he don't say God. He says opposition. And if I was the devil, I would say that too, because he knows the blasphemy that he would have to answer for God, because we know Allah is one. And he has no associate, so he don't have a positive and a negative. He's the creator of both the positive and the negative. So these are forces that's really not in opposition with one another.
No.
These are forces that work with each other. But the devil, he's careful, because he knows he has the answer for this just like the rest of us. He's not above having to answer for the works that he have done. And when he gets before God on, as we say, the day of the judgment, then he's going to say, God, you know, I have never went against or saying that there was another God besides you. I even rejected when they put me as God besides you. And so he's going to tell that. So you have to be careful in listening to his language, because he say, this is the way you all see it. See, he put that in there. So no, did the devil say God, that was God? No, he did not. He said, we see it as omnipresent.
Yeah,
you know?
But so this is a very important point that you're bringing up, Brother Henry. Because actually, you know, just what it was, just this clip that you just played, he's as my mother used to say, he's a bald-faced lie in terms of even saying that he has equal power. He has no power, not at all. He has no power. You know, it's Almighty God, Allah, that has the power. And matter of fact, we go back to scripture again. For him to be able to be able to whisper or to be able to influence this human creation that God created for a special purpose. Once again, the purpose, you understand, is to worship and serve God, but also the role and responsibility that God has given. This is the purpose in terms of being the Khalifa, to be that free, responsible creature that God has created, responsible for himself, for others, and for the creation itself. Allah has authorized that. He has created that and authorized that. And so the devil is in, when we say opposition, the devil really is in opposition to that creation. He can't he can't be opposing God because he can't win. That's why when we say Ahimina Shaitan Rajim, you know, that we seek refuge, shelter, protection with Allah from the avowed open enemy of man, of the human, but not of God, because he had to get, he asked God for respite. And this is in the Quran. We know that. He asked God for respite. And so look up the word respite. That will become a homework assignment for those who are listening. And so when it was granted to him, now you understand. Yeah, we can see, you understand, what he's contending, what he's in opposition, and it's not in terms of with God, because he know he can't, you know, he can't win. You know, they had this old movie out years ago, Your Arms Are Too Short, The Box with God. I don't know if you remember that. Years ago. Yeah. Yeah, but he's in opposition to this human creation because he thinks or feels like he should be the one that's large and in charge and should be running things.
Well, you know, that mindset, and we see it even in today's society, the I, a type of mindset, and this is what people like that do once they begin to get a little power, then they begin to want to put themselves in God's place there. So we see that so often out here, I alone. You know, and we know that they have reached a critical stage that the devil has really, really taken over their mind in. But that brings us up to where we are today. We do have a caller in queue here, and look like it's Miss Hasib here. So I'm going to bring her in, and then we're going to take a break, and we'll continue. And what I'm going to do, I looked up a short, well, it's not a short, it's about 15 minutes, our last 15 minutes from Imam Muhammad in one of the talks that he was giving. And the first part of it is about 15 minutes. I want to play that as we end today because I do have to leave a little early. But it's so much into this, and it's called The Friend in Truth is that. But we're going to bring in Joyce right now. As-salamu alaykum, Joyce Hasib at 251-366.
Walaikum assalam, and to you.
Assalamu alaikum, Joyce.
Walaikum assalam, enjoying the
Alhamdulillah.
And while I was listening to you this morning, the thought had come to me that how is it that Napoleon Hill was able to remember all of this that the Shaitan was telling him? And so the thought came to me that, you know, of course, just as Prophet Muhammad, the message of Allah was placed on his heart, where all the words of Allah was placed in the Quran and recited from him, I felt as though God wanted us not even to know about himself, God, but he also wanted us to know about the Shaitan, because he wanted us to know about him in order for us to be able to resist him and fight the schemes of the Shaitan. So I felt this was a truly a blessing for Napoleon Hill to be able to have written all of this down. And I felt like this was, he was aided in this by God. So so anyway, there we know that the Shaitan, he's sly and slick and whatever, but this should be mandatory for all Muslims when they accept religion, like a 101 course in college there, because this is something this is letting us know how we can fight. If you know your enemy, you're able to battle, go to battle with him if you know what your enemy is and what he's thinking and how he strategizes. So I'm thankful to Allah that you all are presenting this, and I pray that our Muslim brothers and sisters and even the Christians and other people of faith will go back and listen to this particular show and see how they too can be able to fight the schemes of Satan. And if everyone was equipped with all of this, then this would be a better world. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
And we thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Joyce, for that comment. You're right on point, Sister Joyce. You're right on point, and we can see why this was withheld, because this was authored back in 1938, and they kept this book off the market only in terms of 2010, 2011, that it was on the market and made available. So thank you so much, because it's such valuable information. And we are told to fight the schemes, but you can't be victorious in fighting the schemes of the devil unless you know the schemes. This is how Adam was deceived in the very beginning. He had no clue of the schemes, because the devil presented himself as a sincere advisor. This is in the Quran. This is why Imam Muhammad said we have to make these connections. Adam, we are Adam. We're the descendants of Adam, you see. But in the very beginning, Adam didn't have that knowledge of the devil. He didn't have the knowledge. So he was very vulnerable, just like a child is very vulnerable. You know, children like candy, like cookies. This is why parents have to tell them to beware of strangers. Don't go to people because they offer you this and that, because they're not discriminating at that point, and they're very vulnerable. And so the human being was very vulnerable at that time, and if we don't know and haven't learned the schemes of the devil, we're very vulnerable, and so he'll be able to capture us, and we will not realize the definite of purpose, really, in terms of our creative purpose. So, Sister Joyce, you're right on point. Thank you so much. We appreciate those comments.
All right.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class, where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anh, and we all explained its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month, who would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. We are back. Okay, Mark, we're going to go on down the road a little bit here, but I thought that was important to at least get the basis of this again, because that was so important here. So we'll go to the next one.
Superstition, intolerance, and fear. But I cannot stand up under definite knowledge properly organized into definite plans in the minds of people who think for themselves.
Why don't you take over omnipotence and manage the whole works in your own way?
You might as well ask why the negative portion of the electron doesn't take over the positive portion and run the entire works. The answer is that both the positive and the negative charges of energy are necessary to the existence of the electron. One is balanced equally against the other, stalemated as it were. So it is with what you call omnipotence and I. We represent the positive and the negative forces of the entire system of universes, and we are equally balanced one against the other. If this power of balance were shifted to the slightest degree, the whole system of universes would become quickly reduced to a mass of inert matter. Now you know why I cannot take over the whole show and run it my way. If what you say is...
Well, we'll stop right there, Mark. You got some comments on that. This is what I was saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, when we talk about Al-Asma al-Usna, for those who don't know Al-Asma al-Usna, Al-Asma is the names. Usna is the adjective describing the names or the attributes, the 99 beautiful attributes or names as God is known by. You see, is that he is alcoholic, and this is one that Imam Muhammad said we should remember. If we don't remember all of them, remember that Allah is alcoholic, which means that he is the creator. He's al-Fatir. He's the originator. And so the devil is not the creator. He's not the originator. So when we're talking about what man has studied, the scientists, as Imam Muhammad said, the scientists that have looked into the creation and have brought about the good out of it. And, of course, the atom, there was the atom bomb that was made that was detrimental. But this is the mindset of that type of person, you understand, that has been influenced by the devil and now has began to start working on behalf of the devil. But Allah has said that the good and the harm he has created in everything. And it becomes the good in terms of the use of that in creation. The devil didn't create any of these things. So he's telling an outright lie and putting himself equal, if you will, on the same level, if you will, in terms of that, because we know that Allah doesn't have partners, nor does he have associates, la sharika lahu. So we actually are given the kalima in terms of making that statement before Allah and others, it is the elimination. It starts with a negative, la ilaha illallah. You see, la is no. See, there is no God. There's no God that deserves the service nor the worship except the one God, Allah, alone, la sharika lahu. And that God has no partners nor associates. And then we go on to bear witness, you understand, that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran, and this is the guidance, this is the criteria. The Quran is the huda, the guidance. It is the furqan. It is the criteria in terms of being able to distinguish right from wrong, what is correct and what is incorrect. You see, this is very, very important. So, no, the devil is not equal to God. And once again, we go to the Quran for reference in terms of that. When he devolved from the state of jinn to Iblis, which means Balasar, he despaired. And why did he despair? He despaired because he, in his own thinking, thought that he should be the one that would emerge as the leader, that he should have been chosen, you understand, to be Khalifa. I'm just giving it to you as Imam Muhammad has given it to us, but just think about it. Don't we have this type of mindset? Don't it exist today? Is it in the presidential race today? Do you think that they should be the one to be large and in charge, to be a dictator? Huh? I mean, think about this. So this mind, this mindset and disposition hasn't gone anywhere, Brother Henry. And then they see themselves as better than. This was the disposition, you understand, of the Iblis when he evolved. No, I cannot submit. No, I will not surrender. Yeah, so some people think that the jinn is all bad. That's not true. And, you know, we don't have time to go into that today, but inshallah, God willing, maybe one of the episodes we can actually look at this devolving and becoming shaitan or becoming, as we say, the Satan or the devil in that regard. So, yes, this is very, very important to be able to see the devil as the devil is and how he has devolved and not evolved to being in the state of jinn, but surrendering his utility for God's purpose. So I'll stop there, but it's very, very important because you go back to 51:56, and it lets you know that Allah created the jinn, you know, but Iblis was a jinn, but it was Iblis that refused to bow. Iblis was not an angel. So we can't be coming into Al-Islam with a Christian mentality because in Christianity it was Lucifer. Lucifer was referred to as a fallen angel. But you get the language, you understand, where Allah is alerting us that this one, you understand, was not an angel. He was a jinn. He was a different creation. Because first and foremost, angels don't and they can't disobey. That's not in the nature of their makeup. As a matter of fact, the angel is completely submissive to God's will. Even the death angel, you understand? Whatever it is that Allah commands the death angel, it does not question God. See, so it's important that we learn the religion. We learn the religion. So if somebody bring us something, anything different than what God is saying, we can refute that. We can refute it with knowledge. It won't be just, this is the way I feel, this is my opinion, this is my thought. No, you can support it with what God has said. And that's why when we read the Quran, I don't care if it's one verse, when we finish, we say, Salaka Allah Udeen. Surely the Salaka, best Salaka Allah gives to us is in Revelation. And surely Allah has spoken the truth. You see, he has spoken the truth, and it's no doubt in it when God gives it to us. So we have to really study this religion, and it's like your wife, Joyce, came on and said, this is truly a blessing, you understand, that we're getting this information, because the reality of it is many of us, you understand, may be working for the devil and don't even realize that we're working for the devil. We in the devil's camp and don't even know how we got there. They think we're working for God, but you're working for the devil because of the ignorance that we have in terms of how the devil is so very, very deceitful and deceives us into a certain way of thinking. So, no, this is an outright lie. No, the devil is not on. It's not on the level of the Creator. La sharika lahu. No partners, no associates do Allah have. I'll stop there.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Can we get another minute or so? And then, as we say, we're going to let Brother Adam get in the queue. And then I want to play this about 15-minute Friends in Truth by Imam W.D.
Okay.
You have exactly the same power as omnipotence. Is that true?
That is correct.
My opposition, you call it omnipotence, expresses itself through the forces which you call good, the positive forces of nature. I express myself through the forces you call bad, the negative forces. Both good and bad are coincidental with existence. One is as important as the other. Then the doctrine of predestination is sound. People are born to success or failure, misery or happiness, to be good or bad, and they have nothing to do with this, nor can they modify their natures. Is that your claim? Emphatically not. Every human being has a wide range of choice in both his thoughts and his deeds. Every human being can use his brain for the reception and the expression of positive thoughts, or he can use it for the expression of negative thoughts. His choice in this important matter shapes his entire life. From what you have said, I gather the idea that human beings have more freedom of expression than either you or your opposition. Is that correct?
That is true.
Omnipotence and I are bound by immutable laws of nature. We cannot express ourselves in any manner not conforming to these laws.
I think that's a good stopping place right there, Adam.
That's a good stopping point.
Mark, you know, he's giving us the hint, because now he's telling us that God is the way he tried to make us think. See, he slid with it. He wanted to make us think that he's talking about that now his omnipotence is bound by the laws. Well, we know who created the laws.
We know that. That's a lie.
Yeah. So you have to watch it, because like we say, he's going to deny that he ever said anything like this, but this is what he leads you to believe in. How many people have he tricked into this thing today to think that God has got boundaries and is bound by certain laws that he got to eat, that he got to walk and re-walk? I mean, all of this craziness that comes into the human life now. So it is existing out here, but this is how the devil grows that stuff. And if you don't know God's word, as you say, if you have not studied the Quran and seen how it comes and dispels these things, you can be duped by it, especially from the old environment that many of us come from.
That's true. And you know how he, you see how he set that up, how he set that up in terms of the freedom to think, the free will, you know, that Allah has given his human creation. Yes, we've been given the freedom to freely think, and we've been given the free will to freely choose, you see, in terms of what it is that we accept, what it is that we reject. Yeah, we've been given that. But he tells a truth, and then he follows it up with a lie in terms of saying that the human being's got more power, you know, in that regard than actually the one that has created us and created creation as creation is. And then, like you say, to subject God and himself to the confines of nature or natural law. No, that's not true. See, so he gives a truth, and then he tells a lie. So the truth, you understand, you have to be very, very cautious, like you said, Brother Henry. You have to be very, very cautious, because he'll give you some truth, a little truth, but he's going to hit you with a big, fat lie, so to speak, you know, in that regard. No. How do you think, you know, Allah speaks about the celestial bodies, and that you don't see any pillars or anything holding them up? And so man has studied one of the laws, the law of gravity and all, you see. So
Mark, I know you got to leave now, though. Okay, yes, sir, go ahead. So I don't want to run too far over in Adam's time, and I asked Adam to get in the queue here. But we'll continue this next week. So same place, same time, right here on AM 360. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. All right. Turned out to be a beautiful day. Seeing all the a big number get together like you all, with the right minds and heart and spirit, Allah brings the sun out. Yeah, there's a hadith. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. There's a hadith. It says, the people were discussing rain that came, and they needed rain very badly. They were suffering drought. And some of the people were saying that the rain came because of scientific calculations in the heavens. And a bigger number was saying the rain came because Allah answered their prayers. So it got to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him. And he said, those who said that the rain came as an answer to the prayers of the believers, they are the ones who said it correctly. Now, excuse me a minute. I have to go and greet my friend over here, and I'll be right back.
Sir.
No. Praise be to Allah. The brother I just spoke to, I remember him in the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nation of Islam. And he stood out then. Something about certain people, I look at them and something in their face, in their looks, sticks with me. So he was one of those brothers. And I know he helped my health. He suggested me taking certain remedy, natural fruit remedy, for my health, and it helped me a lot. So I had to go speak to my brother. Alhamdulillah. You know, in the Quran, Allah says, God says, the believers are the friends of one another. Are the friends of one another. And that's what I want to emphasize to you all for a few minutes that I'll be here with you now. If you say you're a brother of a Muslim, that's not street talk. That kind of expression, thousands of years old, even before Muhammad the Prophet, those who believe in God, they called each other brother and sister. Abraham, is it given in the Bible? Prophet Abraham, upon him be peace. He was seen with his wife. And he spoke of her as his sister. He said, this is my sister. Later, those who were not of his following, they said, this man lied. That he was with his wife, and he said, this is my sister. But he didn't lie, because my wife, wherever she is, I left a long time ago, but she's somewhere with her beautiful self. She is my sister also. We say sister of the wife, sister. You know, Abraham also was called a friend of God. Friend of God. Khalil. Khalilullah. The friend of God. And in the Quran, it says the believers are friends, the friends of one another. The plural of sadiq. One friend is sadiq. If I say my friend, sadiqi, my friend, sadiqi, who is sadiqi? Who understood what I just said? Who is sadiqi? Yeah, we got a few, yeah.
He's my friend.
He is my friend. That's right. Who is he? Who is sadiqi? He is my friend. The plural is asdiqa. The plural, friends. And the believers are asdiqa, they are friends. It's from sadiq, one friend, plural, many friends, asdiqa. And we are fraternity of friends. We are fraternity of brothers, and we are fraternity of friends. Of friends. Because you know God says in the Quran, the believers are brethren. The believers are brethren. Mm-hmm. Ikhwah. Brethren. From Akh. One brother. Akh. Ikhwah. Brethren. A fraternity of brethren. It's not just brethren. Brothers. Because brothers is a different word than ikhwa. Ikhwa means an organized group of brothers. Ikhwa, a fraternity of brothers. So we are fraternity of brothers, and we are fraternity of friends. And the word friend in this language that we are coming, giving you now from Quran and from Muhammad the Prophet Sunnah, prayers, peace be on him. The word in its origin comes from truth. 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 We say, Sadaqallah al-Azim. Sadaqallah al-Azim. God the Mightiest spoke the truth. Spoke the truth. Sadaqa. Spoke the truth. And we say he gave sadaqa. So the same truth is charity. And we are a fraternity of Siddiq. From Sidd. Same word, origin. Sidd means truth. And God speaks of Qadam Siddin. The position of truth or the stand of truth. Qadam Siddin. See, I take the stand of truth. Sadaqa Siddin. Upright. Like this. Qadama Siddin. From the same word. Look how we use this word in so many different connections. Truth. If you have truth, if you give it to somebody, that's your best charity. That's your best charity. So sadaqa is a charity. Also, comes from the same word, same meaning. And if you have a truthful relationship with somebody, it's good. If you have a false relationship with somebody, it's bad. So the first qualification for a truthful, for a good relationship with anybody is truth. Be truthful in your relationship and be loyal to your relationship. It all depends on you being truthful. Truthful. Truth. Know the truth, for the truth shall make you free. Truth is also a condition for true freedom too, huh? See how powerful this word is? And the believers are a fraternity of friends, and the word means, comes from the word sit. Sit, which means truth and friend all in one. It means truth and friend all in one word. Sit, sitkin, call him a sitkin. Now, you know, you can't get people together and you don't have anything unless you're sincere. Or you got to be really good at deceiving people. And they'll catch up with you sooner or later. As one great man said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. Yes, yes. So, we used to be brothers. We didn't join the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for money. We joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to give him money so he could help us realize what he promised. We didn't join him for money. But things changed in the 60s, middle and late 60s. People started joining because they were black and proud. Not because they wanted to obey God. See, we joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because we thought with him we could be truer to our God. Yes. We were disappointed, didn't have faith in the white man's religion. His world and his religion. And we had plenty of reason to not accept it. We rejected his world and his religion. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad cleared up our heads. Opened our eyes and cleared up our heads. And we said, oh, I'm through with this. Left the church. Left the white man as authority over your life. Yes? And we did it without somebody offering us money. No money. We came to give him money. See, if this is what you want for us, we give you our money. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made material progress in time. And we were very, very happy. Yes. Many of you still here with me right now. You were back then. And we were very, very happy. We were happy to see one another. Or we look forward to Savior's Day once a year. Not just to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but also to see one another. And to socialize with sister from South. We from the East Coast. But we know a sister in the South. We'd be expecting to see her and her family. Meet them there on Savior's Day. Meet our friends at different parts of the United States on Savior's Day. And we would be in the restaurants, eating and talking, socializing. We would be on around like right now on the premises, eating and talking and socializing. We were a fraternity of friends. A fraternity of friends rooted in truth. Huh? Yeah. And giving charity, even though we were poor. That's what we want to get back. Thank you. Peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
There's a place where words make people. A place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
The Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC, is established as a national resource and community service center supporting the Quranic principle of representative democracy or mutual consultation, Amrahum Shura Bainahum, in the conduct of community affairs. CWSC recognizes that only through Shura can the power of the group intellect be fully utilized for solving problems and discovering opportunities that help each of us improve our individual, family, and community life. From Quran, with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, Merciful Redeemer, so whatever you are given is but a provision of this world's life, and that which Allah has is better and more lasting for those who believe and rely on their Lord, and those who respond to their Lord and keep up prayer, and whose affairs are decided by counsel among themselves. Truly, Almighty God speaks the truth. That's the noble and glorious Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 42, 36 through 38.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month. 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to our barakatuh. This is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning. I want to welcome all of you to our program today, and inshallah, we have an interesting one for you. We have two guests coming on today. One is Brother Jimmy Small, or Jimmy Salam. He's the president of the Muslim League of Voters for New Jersey, and also another member, Brother Abdul Mani Hassan. I'm just waiting on them to press one to get in the queue. They might already be here. Let me see if I can catch up with them. Hold on a sec. One sec. All right. Yeah, we have one here. We have both of them here. I'm going to bring them on live. As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Blue.
As-salamu alaykum.
Mani Hassan. Alhamdulillah. Thanks for calling in, brother. And I think this is Brother Jimmy here. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Alaykum as-salam.
This is Brother Jimmy. Okay, yeah. I wanted to have a... So just discuss some of the good work that you're doing, both of you are doing, through your organization, the Muslim League of Voters for New Jersey. And so one of you, I guess Brother Jimmy, tell me about the organization, if you could, please, sir.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum to the brother. Yes, we go back a few years. We go back all the way to Temple Number 21 in Jersey City, New Jersey. But anyway...
Okay.
The Muslim League of Voters has been established. It was established in 1985. Our goals are to get people to register to vote, voter education, and just helping the community with many different services as possible. Of late, we've been doing just those two things, voter registration and voter education. And one of our educational things that we're doing is reparations. We work in coalition with a number of other organizations, not necessarily all of them Muslims, such as the Faith Allies, and their one goal is to report about reparations. We work with the Newark Alliance, Newark Interfaith Alliance, and that is an organization that stretches beyond Newark, New Jersey, but it encompasses the Christian faith of many different backgrounds. Muslims that come from a number of different masjids, and even Jewish and people from the Mormon faith, they are all a part of that. We are also getting people out to vote right now, because we have a special general election on September 18th, which is unusual because we had our congressman for the 10th Congressional District, he passed. So there were a number of elections that were held, and we want people to get out to vote. Our work is to do phone banking for the people that live in the 10th Congressional District. We've been going to every kind of festival, rally, or anything this summer, getting people to register to vote, and not just in New Jersey. They need to register to vote all over. We were also one of the groups that were able to get a Heritage Month each year that started this year, each January. It was called a New Jersey Muslim Heritage Month. We were able to get the state legislators, state senate and state assembly, to pass the bill setting that up without any opposition, and the governor signed it and it was one of the biggest festivals I'd ever seen in the state of New Jersey. It was in two parts of the state, one in central Jersey and one in south Jersey. And it was a diverse group of Muslims. And so that's just some of the work we're doing. And we're going to hoping to do a lot more, but we stay busy. As I've been telling people of late, politics is 24/7, 365. It never stops. And that's what I hope people understand. All of the things you usually do in your life are by politics. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, can I say, thank you. And Brother Abdulmani, do you want to add anything on to that?
Sure. It's quite a bit. First of all, as-salamu alaykum and good morning to you, Brother Adam Bayah. It's a pleasure to be on your show, inshallah. And my brother, he's a former councilman and school board member of two terms in one of the cities up here in New Jersey, East Orange, New Jersey. Both our backgrounds are in education. He's a science teacher and me. I taught special needs, and we both are athletic coaches, and I was the athletic director in the city of East Orange for about 10 years. And so moving forward, I joined to try to be of assistance to my brother and to the Muslim League of Voters in New Jersey, which is a political arm. One of the things that my brother didn't mention, and we've already been getting phone calls as we move into the new school year, and some schools have already started, but up in this area, we're getting phone calls for us to, you know, could we come back and for their orientations of the older students to register them to vote, because we were doing that in the toward the end of the school year. Very important elections are coming up, and one big election is coming up. And also I want to mention that when my brother was talking about the 10th Congressional District, that was the passing of well-known Donald Payne Jr., the congressman. My brother was received an award in February during Black History Month from him and a couple of other people from his 10th congressional district, but Jimmy was one of the award recipients. As in a lot of things, we don't stop, and like he's taught me, you know, politics is 24/7. Now, everybody that think that politics, that they don't have anything to do with it, but you need something here. When you need something, it's politics. When you converse with somebody, okay, over your car insurance, over your house insurance, that's political, just on a different level. So don't think you're not involved in politics. I'm saying it to our listeners and anybody that doesn't get involved, you're involved anyway. And, you know, Imam Muhammad, he told us to be involved. That's why my brother mentioned us being involved in reparations. That's what us being on a New Jersey Interfaith a group, and also we're with the Newark Interfaith Alliance, because Imam Muhammad told us, he showed us what to do. So we're in it, and we're not going anywhere. We're educated, and Jimmy is the best presenter of the political arena in New Jersey, in my opinion. Not just being saying that because he's my brother, but I'm saying that because in New Jersey, we've educated a lot of our immigrant community and also our African American community first, because that's where who we are. But in them calling the Muslim League of Voters to come so they can learn this and learn that, what they wanted to know is how could they get involved in their communities into politics, and you couldn't have no better teacher than Jimmy Salam.
Right, and I definitely hope that Jimmy would have gone into it. But
brother, I could have gone into a lot, but it's just that it is a lot.
Well, alhamdulillah, brother. I mean, you know, I don't want the people to know who we're talking to. You know what I mean? When you're talking about forming alliances, Imam Muhammad gave a lecture back in 1984 in Washington, D.C., and he talked about forming alliances. You know, not just alliances necessarily between Christians and Jews. The man said, the Quran says form alliances. You need to form alliances at home and abroad. You know, you need to get
That's
together
right.
with people that have your interests at home and also abroad. So in the days, you know, the word politics, has the media has made it sound so ugly and unnecessary, you know, unfortunately. But the only people that take that ugly and necessary theme of it are people that are left out. You know what I mean? They're left out. They're lacking it. They're not getting support. They're not doing it for themselves. Give me an idea. I got a text message this morning about the Texas School Board, the Texas State School, and they have on the new textbooks, they have put in the textbooks a lot of information on biblical references, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't use other religions. So if you want to use the Quranic references, they'll reject that. Now, that's political. And those are people that don't want anything other than strong Christian nationalists and those types of things. So that right there should give us a wake-up call that, hey, we need our own schools, right? We need our own schools. We need to support education amongst ourselves. Because
and
if we do something, if there's... Yes, sir.
You're very, very right. We are trying to reestablish our Sister Clara Muhammad School in our area. There is one sister at National Hawk in Newark, has a weekend program for younger kids, and there's some of us, like I, as my brother mentioned, I was an educator for 30 years, school board member, et cetera, but we need to bring that back, because you mentioned Texas. Texas is the place where they supply most of the textbooks for the entire country, and we're still in the midst of that fight here in New Jersey in reference to, let's say you had social studies, and they teach about religion. And especially in the fifth and sixth grade. But the one they don't teach about is Islam. It's, oh, we're going to cover it in the seventh grade. But those kids need to hear about it at a much earlier age, because there's a lot of fallacies, a lot of things that are not mentioned about us that are true. And if they are getting only that Christian nationalist point of view, it's not good, because they have a tendency to be racist. And what they're trying to put, so they're trying to say that they're trying to go against the actual U.S. Constitution. There shall not be an establishment of a religion. You're supposed to have your own mm-hmm. religion, but that's what that is all about. They support the wrong issues, and I'm going to say this because it's in the news a lot. Project 2025, and that is a dastardly piece of work that a lot of so-called conservatives wrote, and they want to take away what affects us, and that the Civil Rights Bill, they want to take that away, and the Department of Education, and a whole host mm-hmm. of other things. They want to take us back mm-hmm. minimally to the 1950s. Can you imagine in the educational realm mm-hmm. if the federal government doesn't have a Department of Education, they want to fund it to the states? Now, I know how corrupt New Jersey can be sometimes in politics. If you send that money here, it's not going to get to where it might need to be in the urban areas.
Where it needs to go.
They make it out to the suburbs. Right. For instance, years ago, again, politics, there was a bill passed specifically to redo the old urban schools. But before it reached the urban centers like Newark, Patterson, and a few other places, Jersey City, it never got here, really. $2.8 billion, because it was 8.2 for the whole bill, and they built schools in the suburban and ex-urban areas, and maybe it was supposed to fund like 100 schools. I think maybe 50 got built in the whole state, and most of those were in the suburbs. So politics is important. You also got to be careful who you put in the government, who you elect, Republican or Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say mm-hmm. this because I have a national audience. Be careful who y'all vote for, because a lot of people are talking about they ain't going to vote. They're going to vote independent, or they're going to vote because of one issue. The one issue
right.
is not – listen, y'all, that one issue, it does not cover certain things like all the atrocities going on in Africa, all of the atrocities going on in China and Myanmar. I understand how people feel. We know people that have lost people in that situation in Gaza, but that's not the only issue. So,
politics plays
every bit of it all the time.
It does. I'm going to play this PSA. We need to do that. Our okay. obligation as host. Then we'll be right back. And I'm, when we come back, I'm gonna share with you something from North Carolina. And I'm only doing that because I'm sure you'll find a likeness of what we're going through in your state, wherever you are in the country. So we'll be right back. Money Sense continues after this message.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right, we're back. This is Adam Biar, your host of Money Sense on AM 360 on Thursday morning. And if we have with us in studio, we have Brother Jimmy Small and Brother Abdulmani Hassan, both of them from New Jersey and politically active, if I must say. One thing I did want to mention to the audience, today at 1 o'clock, I'm going to lunch with our local state representative, North Carolina. In the district that I live in, it was known as an African-American district. They carved out to make sure we have an African-American representing us. But this term, a Caucasian one, young Caucasian. I've had no problem with him, young Caucasian. He won the seat. But I think he got amnesia. He voted for North Carolina House Bill 187. And in the bill, I think that it was 187, one of those, in the bill, it lowered the age for felonies to 16.
Mm.
Let me say it again. Lowered the age to be charged with a felony to 16. So they're going to send 16-year-olds to prison. And, of course, our state legislature is controlled by the Republicans. But this representative in my district, who's a Democrat, he voted for the first round of the bill. He voted yes. He was a former prosecutor, right? And I guess he had his prosecutor hat on. And he voted. He was one of the five Democrats around the state that voted yes. Then when he started getting backlash, he called the local county chair of the Democratic office, who's an African-American, and he said he wanted to do some damage control. I got wind of it, you know, as the president of the Black Caucus of the County Democratic Party, as their president, I got wind of he wanted to do damage control. But I'm looking at the names that he invited. Not that I was upset he didn't invite me, no. But still, who he invited were the yes men and women. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, we know.
They're going to agree with him. They're going to agree with him. So I called somebody I know that knows him. I said, look, I'm going to invite you to lunch. And for the sake of completeness, he did end up, when the governor vetoed it, he did end up upholding the veto. And that was his way of getting, I guess, correcting his mistake. But I want to find out, who are you talking to? You know, if your district is majority African Americans and you're supposed to be representing us, who are you talking to that make you think it was all right to vote for that bill? You need to expand your list of African Americans to discuss things with when you want to represent us. I'm going to be nice and respectful, and I'm going to pay for lunch, so, you know, whatever. You understand?
Yes, we do.
But I want to talk to this man. Now, see, that's the politics that I'm sure the brother Jimmy and brother Abdulmani are talking about when you say local. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm watching the National Convention, right? And it's good to see the Parade of Stars, and that's good. But I'm looking at right here where I live at.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if I want to exact any kind of influence to work for the good, work for what's best, then I got to be in a certain to do that. You understand?
Yes, brother Adam, we do understand. We have similar issues here. We were talking about reparations earlier. I know parts of North Carolina were on board. They got a North Carolina reparation task force. California, the entire state has it. And there's a lot of smaller entities around the country. New York State has it. But you know what? When you have what is called, and I got this from I think he's in assembly now in Alabama, Abdul Salam, or he may be out now, because I talked to him like 30 years ago, and at that time he was a city councilman in Mobile, Alabama. He made a statement that I never forgot: the politics of race. Now, the reparations bill is being held up by my brother's own state senator. He lives about two blocks from where my brother lives at, and he's also president of the Senate. But he won't bring the bill up. And there's all kinds of towns around the state of New Jersey that want that bill. And I already told you what happened with the school money years ago. But that kind of stuff, as you said, you have to watch that wherever you live out in the country. We just gave New Jersey and North Carolina examples. But it could be examples anywhere. The politicians, when they got a hold of certain things, they will do that. And I dare say, I don't know for a fact, because I don't know all the issues. I know there's a lot of private prisons, and if you can get more kids locked up, because that's what it's going to be, especially our African-American boys, then you make more money. So whoever owns those prisons can make money. Also, I guess the state county also can make some money off it as well. Then you're going to need more construction to build more prison cells.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Wherever you go,
brother Adam,
you got to see. Yes. Go ahead, bro.
I just wanted to say that all politics are local. So when you were talking mm-hmm. about what's going on in Fayetteville, I was taught that all politics are local, and as my brother already said, you should look at who you're voting for, and because you need to vote for somebody, because if they don't have your interests, you need to see who else is running, or you need to run.
Well,
somebody in your local community, because it all starts local.
It does. I mean, give me an idea. They in North Carolina, they had a bill where they had set-asides.
Mm.
Mandated. They called it mandated goals. That 10% of all state contracts had to be let with minority firms. That was a mandated goal. So then they passed the bill. And the bill changed the language from mandated goals to aspirational goals.
Wow.
What the heck is an aspirational goal? And then I looked at the people that voted yay for that bill. 5 African-American legislators around the state. And I called every last one of them and asked them, why did they pass that bill? And one of them said, I didn't know what that bill was all about. I didn't really read it. I said, man, you're being Raleigh passing stuff you ain't read. That's a problem.
Oh, boy. Unbelievable.
Brother, what they used to do when I was on the city council, they would get, because that was before computers were big, they would give you the bills and stuff that you got to vote on. But you got to read those things. I saw people come in, mm-hmm. open the package at the meeting. So they didn't know what they were voting on.
Exactly.
I still see that stuff on the library. They don't – look, this is taxpayer money. But this show is money sense. So people want to know how their money is being spent. And if in taxes and stuff like this, you're an elected official. And as I heard my brother just say, you got to watch who you get elected. And speaking of elected – as he also said, if you don't like how something is, you run. And you can run for an office all the way down to the precinct. We call them district leaders here in New Jersey. They may be called that mm-hmm. in other places, but it's still at the precinct level. And you, mm-hmm. unfortunately, in our communities, the black communities, we don't get out and vote like we should. Let's say my precinct, it has 600 people that live here. When you check and see how many people voted on election day, for a big election like November 5th, maybe 150 of the registered voters mm-hmm. voted, and the rest of the people didn't vote. And they have all kinds of ways to vote now. You can vote by mail. You can vote early. For instance, that election I told you about for mm-hmm. September 18th, I voted last week because they sent me to vote by mail. Things. So I said, I'm done. In my case, I kind of have to. Because one of the things I didn't mention, I'm the ward chair, as some people call the political boss of my part of town. And if you get in this, you can influence people as a Muslim, but you got to start. And that's why a lot mm-hmm. of stuff with this uncommitted, et cetera, what are y'all doing? Are y'all a precinct captain? Are you on a board, planning board, zoning boards, board of education? But you want to start at the presidential level? How? How are you going to do that?
Well,
somebody might say, I'm going to run for governor, and the governor's race is June of next year in 2025. But they talk about they're going to run for the governor in March of 2025. We have to be a part of this.
I'm sorry, Brother Bayer. It even starts lower than that. Are you on the PTO or PTA?
Yeah.
Of your child's school or your grandchild's school, you can get in that. And our people don't be – listen, if you want to make change, you have to be at the table. So you should be in those at the school board, not the school board, but at the PTO of the school, and then you can branch out. All politics are local. So if you want to make a change, don't sit back and criticize and complain. Get in it.
And that's what I did here.
That's
what I did in Fayetteville. I got in drawing stuff. I joined boards. I used to tell the books, I'm not the only books to be fair, but y'all get out there drawing stuff. And you understand? I wanted to get on the airport commission, right?
So, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
The African city council members, they had already put their favorite person up. But I wanted to get on the airport commission. So I went to a Caucasian that was the mayor pro tem, and everybody said that man was a racist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I know he needed a victory. He needed something to say he did to prove he ain't racist. I went to him, and he put my name up for the airport commission. And I got on it, right? They're trying to figure out how he get on here. Now, I didn't go there to sell my soul. I ain't had nothing to say to him, right? But I knew he needed a bit. He needed to have something on record to prove he ain't racist. And I put Adam B. on airport commission, right? So I got on there. You got to be strategic. You know, I was on the Human Relations Commission. You got to be strategic. And I encourage other Muslims to get out there and get involved in stuff. Because we got to. And pretty soon, I can just see the opposition to Islam just getting weakened, right? So much so that when we built our masjid down here, the people at city planning, they were more interested in when we're going to finish it than we were. Every time I go down, I said, oh, Reverend B., when y'all going to be finished with the masjid? And then when we built it, the mayor of the city, he was ill. He came out to the masjid opening. And that was probably the next to the last public appearance before he died. But he said, I got to go there. So I'm saying to get involved and you can change minds and hearts.
I just want to say that since you talk about masjid construction, we had issues in the 2000s, in the 2000s and the 2010s about masjid constructions here. It's one masjid in a very affluent town, but they called for our help, and we went and helped them. They blocked their masjid construction over two parking spaces, There's another one, and I know you know the town, Bayonne, New Jersey, because it's very congested there, but there's also parts where there's nothing. They blocked their construction. Oh, it's going to create a parking issue. So what happened with those two, and a third one in Bridgewater, New Jersey, what happened was when you block those masters from being built, when you work together, you know they had to pay those umats $1.4 million each? Because they have blocked them. And I might add, we have to mention, my first start in politics was class parent at Sister Clara Muhammad School and a Master Muhammad in
Newark.
So
That's how
I started.
and other masjids, too. At other masjids, we were on their board as educators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got a caller who wants to say something. I'm going to bring him on if you don't mind,
sure.
Brother.
No problem.
Eric, 312-366-312-366. Assalamu
alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Hazbiyah, Sister Mir Muhammad Shahid. To your distinguished guests, I can really appreciate these two brothers. I thank Allah that we have someone that comes to the forefront with courage, inspiration to take matters into their own hands and bring it to its logical conclusion. This conversation is so prevalent, so informative, and we need these kind of conversation ongoing, not just in a political arena, but in every aspect that pertains to our growth and our development. And I want them to, if possible, to leave contact numbers because I'm so inspired. I am just so inspired. I was a previous student of Muhammad University, and I know the value of having our own education, to educate our own children with commitment and with God's consciousness. So I just want to say I appreciate you all, and if you all can leave your contact information with on the line. Thank you.
Making us
We'll be very happy to do that.
Go ahead. Leave the information, though.
Okay. My telephone number is 973-580-4798. Again, 973-580-4798.
And brother, what is your name?
I'm all known as Jimmy Small, but a lot of people know me as Jimmy Salon.
Jimmy Salon, okay, gotcha.
Yes,
another brother, another brother.
Yeah, I'm Abdul Mani Hassan. You can call me Brother Hassan. I'm the chairman actually of the Muslim League of Voters because my brother made me take the chair. Anyway, I don't mind. If you don't call him, you can call me at area code 973-296-1133.
Thank you, Brother Bial, for hosting such a dynamic program on your show. They'd be so informative, and this is things we need to know, you know, ongoing. So thank you.
Yes, again. Thank you very much, sister. All right, lines open. Anybody want to make a comment, just press 1 to get in the queue, and we'll bring you on. While we're on education, let me give a plug for an organization that we're working with called 100 at 50. I don't know if you heard of that.
No, I never heard of it. I'm going to write that down, though.
What's
the name of it again?
Back in 2016, 100 and the at sign, and the 50 is $50. 100 at $50. And the effort was started in March of 2016. And it actually was started on this program, when I mentioned it on this program. So I heard it many times. You constantly hear people say that education is number one priority. I know you heard that statement, right? Amen. Muhammad said that.
We're both educators, so, without a doubt.
All right. And I can remember back in the day, we had probably 50 or more schools around the country.
Sure did.
I mean, it was like a boilerplate. You start a temple, you start a school, and you start a restaurant. That was like a boilerplate, right? Well, in March of 2016, there were only 7 full-time schools still open, right, around the country. And that didn't seem like to be a priority to a whole lot of people. So I said, well, if we can get 100 people to donate $50 a month to schools, that would help. And what we did every month, we rotate the schools so that after 7 months, each school would receive ideally $5,000. $5,000. And we started that effort. We didn't quite get up to 100, but some months we did raise over 5 because some of the people said, well, I'll send $100 in or whatever. So from that position. So since April of 2016 to today, we raised over $375,000 to go to schools around the country. And now there are 5 schools full-time. 2 of the schools closed up because of the COVID. And one of the schools that closed up was at Master Muhammad in Newark. They closed, but I understand now they're trying to bring it back. So
yeah, I'm on the board just trying to help bring it back.
And Sister Martha, Marsha, I'm sorry, she's still working with you, right?
Yes, Sister Marsh is still working with us, and a few other.
Ask her about
mainly sisters.
Ask her about the 150. Yeah, ask them about the 150 effort because they were recipients for that. So we're doing that, and that's why I mentioned the Texas situation. If this whole thing, Project 2025, is implemented, and it's being implemented, it might not be nationally, but it's being implemented as we speak. It's being implemented in North Carolina. I know some of the things that are happening here. I'm sure it's being implemented in Texas, you know, other places that have majority, Republican majorities there. They're going to try to implement it. And how would that affect our communities? Because the public schools will not produce what we need. They just won't do it. And what will produce what we need as a community is Kerr Muhammad Schools. So that's my plug for 150. And I'll get you some more information on this.
I really would appreciate that because, as I stated, I'm sorry, I almost cut you off. I am working with Sister Marsha, and I'm the only brother, but myself and some sisters that are educators at different levels of education, and some are retired. But we are going to get it back because you're right, because when they rebuilt Master Muhammad Newark, Sister Clara Muhammad School was on the second floor. You can still see their textbooks, everything, but the cost and COVID, shut it down. So we're doing our best to get it back, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Let us know. We got another call on the line. I'm going to bring them on.
Sure.
Error code 914-434-914-434. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Albury, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Assalamu Muhammad.
Now, I want to go right to it. That is, if we don't have Islamic schools, that means someone else is teaching our children and our grandchildren.
Mm.
How are they going to remain Muslim if we don't have them in an Islamic school?
Well, I can answer it this way. Some of them do leave Islam and start doing other things. I had a sister tell me at an Eid a couple of years ago how her daughter was questioning her sexuality, and then people get caught up into drinking and getting high and all other kind of stuff. They want to party, and then as I heard a khutbah one time, they become Ramadan Muslims, where they may do some fasting, but the main thing they want to go is to an iftar. So you're absolutely right. We have to do whatever that 150 deal that Brother Adam was talking about, that can work not just education, for other things as well. But it's a good way to fund your organization. But that's how we can do it. We just, you know, we have to have several patients, and we can get this to work. But things fell apart. COVID didn't help, so we can keep working and make sure that we get the proper education. In the meantime, though, this is what I did. When I had my kids in school, well, I had to take them out of Muslim schools for a while. They had been public schools, but I went and complained. And I made sure my kids got what they needed, so much so that East Orange, New Jersey, where I live, became the second community in the country to have Muslim holidays back in 1992. The first was Trenton, New Jersey, which had them all the way back in 1988. That's how you can get that stuff. You can't, all politics are local, all the way down to school level and below. You got to go there and complain. Now, we were talking about those textbooks that only had this conservative Christian perspective. Well, you go there and complain at the Board of Education meetings, PTA, that if they're going to have that, then they got to teach supplemental stuff as well. In this case, the supplemental stuff got to be al-Islam, even if it means getting a local imam to come in and teach it. And even if he has to have some kind of registration or whatever it is, but got to work. Work within the system to make it work. But I agree with you. I've seen it too often where kids, when they go to public school, our Muslim kids, some come back to the religion, but many don't. And you may have someone with a Muslim name, they ain't practicing nothing. But you, so you're absolutely right. So we got to work to get the Sister Clara Muhammad schools back in place, so we can get our Muslim children trained about the Quran and the Sunnah and how to live a righteous life.
Just want to add on to that, that when you don't, a lot of schools now, and this has been going on for a while, I don't know about other parts of the country, but it should be charter schools. Okay, charter schools. If you, and the brother is right, if the question he asks is, if we don't have Muslim school, how are we going to keep the children, or how are they going to remain Muslim after being raised Muslim? Because we have to have those schools. We, in the public schools, my brother and I both were public school teachers. So we had Muslim children amongst our classes, okay? But they're also exposed to other things other than Islam. So with them being exposed and trying to keep up, because I did mostly high school and junior high school and 6th, 7th, 8th to 12th grade. So it's one thing to have the children. The bottom line is they have to be taught Islamically, and it has to be something to draw them. And if we don't have people talking about this in our communities and trying to raise money and doing these things, how are we going to get our schools back? How are we going to build them where they weren't built before? That's because we have to be proactive, not reactive. Like I said, we can't complain if we're not out and trying to do something. Because in my classroom in high school, I had a picture, because I'm a Haji. So I had a picture of Masjid, the Grand Mosque in Mecca, Masjid in Medina, Masjid Nabawi. And I bought a couple of imams in our area and through the classroom and said, they let you put this here? I said, sure they do. Because right now, that city has a Muslim mayor. But it wasn't a Muslim mayor then. It was this African-American mayor. And Muslims were, you know, in the Newark area, is accepted. Okay, so we could talk to our political people, and we've been talking to them, my brother before me, but being involved in politics, you have Muslim children that are very athletic in the classroom, very smart. But you lose them, because if you don't have something for them at the masjids, if we don't have stuff for them because we don't have schools and things, it's social media is teaching them, and other things are teaching them. Great question, brother.
Thank you, and thank you for your answers.
You're very welcome, thank brother.
You. Very welcome, brother.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Muhammad, for calling in. And Muhammad is one of the first people that joined 150 back in the day, so thank a lot that he's been consistent over the years. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Appreciate it, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
All right.
Everybody can be involved. Listen, if you're ill or whatever, listen, brother Adam, you're doing a great job. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, with your show, because like I tell people, well, listen, you don't have to be able to leave the house or whatever, whatever. You can get on the phone call, get on the phone, and call up your senators, your mayor, somebody. Leave a message at the city council. Find out who your council people are. If you don't know who your people are, okay, then find out who the heck they are. And you can leave messages. Have so-and-so to call me. They don't call you, call them back again.
And once you get some juice from making them phone calls, they're very, very quick to do things for you. As they say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. I might add, normally, Brother Adam, we cannot be on at this time because we are usually on a Zoom call with the Newark Interfaith Alliance, which occurs at the same time. And I think Councilwoman Roundtree forgot that we told her we wouldn't be on because they're calling me to find out where are we.
I know they call me too. They want to know where we are.
We're the only Muslim voices on there, and we have which means we have a very good relationship with the religious communities in the Newark area, and we're trying to even build that up. In fact, we have I didn't mention it earlier. We have a program where we're trying to get out the vote. There's a very prominent preacher here in New Jersey. He's working with the Christian community, and we're going to work with him in the Muslim community as well. We're going to go some imams don't do what they need to do, but we're going to go with those imams that we know for sure are going to try to get their people out to vote because it's important. Because you need to vote as though your life depends upon it, because it
That's
does.
Right.
It does.
Vote as though your life, because your life does depend. And with that being said on me, thank you for having me on with my brother Jimmy. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the Zoom so there'll be a Muslim there.
Tell them I'll be on at the conclusion of this show.
Okay. No, but you. Thank you, Brother Adam Bell.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother. Give them a greeting for us over there. And,
I will. I definitely will. Y'all.
All right. We do have a call I want to bring online. 727-741-727-741.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Martha Naila Abdullah here calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Alhamdulillah. So really, please, you, Adam, and I did Brother Jimmy Small, right? Still with us.
Yes, ma'am.
Alhamdulillah. My question is, and being one who has been from neighborhood associations and walking the streets and getting the humps in the street, as we said, by protection, and as you mentioned, being active in the school and then with the school board and doing community action, direct action thing, you know, bringing one to the carpet, such as bankers, any organizations, and businesses. My question is, and our connection is with the City Hall as well. We do a lot of things, but I've been lately studying the Chamber of Commerce and its connection with lobbying and affecting some policies such as, you know, and so when we speak of being in business Muslim, we've tried to form business organizations here, but somehow it dwindled. And I said, there's something missing. And apparently, you know, we're not looking at it from the connection point and the why and how we can become a part of that lobbying. What's your thinking on that?
I do so much in regular politics that I often forget about the Chamber of Commerce. But I do have one example right here in my city of East Orange. When you have a strong Chamber of Commerce, there was an area where all the stores are closed up. So there's a masjid called Masjid Asabi Yameen, and colloquially we call it Fourth Avenue. So when that masjid opened up, they established a Chamber of Commerce and were to get those empty storefronts open and We've got businesses over there. In fact, there was a there is a very popular bean pie. I'm not going to give them a plug. Bean pie business that was in a suburb, but it moved over there, and it's thriving as a for instance, because they knew that by living, by having their facility in an area basically next to Massagit, that they can make more money, and many of the other businesses thriving. There's a huge halal meat market that there, in fact, there's two in that area, and a whole host of other things. But you got to get in the Chamber of Commerce, and if possible, take it over so you can get the kind of businesses you want. And I think, Sister, you're very right. Chambers of Commerce are going to be very important because we have an American problem right now of a lot of empty storefronts. It has nothing to do with the neighbors. It's just that everybody wants to order things online. But there's things that our communities need where a brick-and-mortar store could work. So therefore, taking over that Chamber of Commerce could be the vehicle to get those brick-and-mortar stores open. Because I, for one, I don't mind ordering things online, but sometimes I want to touch and feel the item that I want to purchase, and I'm quite sure a lot of other people are like that as well.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much, because I did recognize that they do have a bridge with religious organizations, and I'm part of the interfaith group here, too, very broad. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you so very, very much.
Sister, did you get my phone number? Because it sounds like you're doing this, a lot of work down there in Florida that I like to hook up with you so we can, put our ideas together, because something that works in Florida might work in New Jersey and vice versa.
Praise be to Allah. Give me your number again, please.
Okay, it's 973-580-4798.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Yes, there's so much I can't get into right now, but yes, you're so correct.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Brother Adam, I need to mention one very important person. Sister, I know we're on time. This sister named Salima Suswell. She's the head of the Black Muslim Leadership Caucus, and she's doing a real good job. They're out of Philly. I know she works with Imam Talib, who was on at the Democratic National Convention the other day. That's a name to remember.
Right.
Salima Suswell.
Okay,
in fact, they're looking at giving her an award at time to be grateful this year.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Well, one more thing. You mentioned 4th Avenue. That was where I used to live on 4th Avenue. 4th Avenue and the Parkway. Right on the last apartment building on the left going towards Garden State.
I know where you are. We're down about 5 or 6 blocks down there. They bought that old bank, fixed it up into a masjid. Now they're raising money to build a masjid from the ground up. So they've really come a long way. In fact,
it's so
full during June, they have to have people outside, or if it's inclement weather, they just have to pack them in. So.
Wow. Alhamdulillah. That's changed. And and I'll probably get with you offline. We have an effort we're working on. It's called Graceline Community Incorporated. And our long-range goal is to establish credit union. But I'll give you a call offline and tell you more about the Graceline effort.
Yeah, I heard you about that from Fleming Elamine, because he's down there with you in North Carolina.
Yes, sir. We have Fleming as a guest on about 3 weeks ago. All right, well, it's been great. We're at the top of the hour. It's time to get out of the way for Imam Yusuf Ramadan. And this topic today is going to be, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? That's Imam Yusuf Ramadan. A new day for Al-Islam in America, beyond. Brother Jimmy, inshallah, thank you very much for coming on board. And we'll
thank
talk
you,
to you later. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil,
every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is peace be unto you. With God's name and merciful benefactor and merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and this is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from a Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So we appreciate the previous program with our brother, Imam Adam, and our friend Jimmy Small, who we reminded we have to get him on also. He's a plethora of knowledge and information on that subject of organizing and politics, etc. So we will be reaching out to him as well, inshallah. So today we have the topic of which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Very famous refrain from the Holy Quran, one of the more famous, and from Surah Rahman. It goes something like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Rahman is he who has taught the Quran. He has created man. He has taught him speech and intelligence. The sun and the moon follow courses exactly computed. And the herbs and the trees both alike bow in adoration. And the firmament has he raised high. and he has set up the balance. That is the mizan of justice, in order that you may not transgress balance. So establish weight with justice and fall not short in the balance. It is he who has spread out the earth for his creatures. Therein is fruit and date palms producing spathes and closing dates. Also corn with its leaves and stalk for fodder and sweet smelling plants. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? And of course, it goes on. And they preface this by saying the majority of commentators consider this an early Meccan surah, though some consider it at least a part of it as dating from Medina. The greater part of it is undoubtedly early Meccan. It is highly poetical and mystical. And the refrain, then which of the favors of your Lord we deny, is interspersed 31 times among its 78 verses. It is the sixth of the series of seven dealing with revelation, the favors of God, and the hereafter. Here, the special theme is indicated by the refrain. The rhyme, in most cases, is in the dual grammatical form, and the argument implies that though things are created in pairs, there is an underlying unity through the Creator in the favors which he bestows and in the goal to which they are marching. Alhamdulillah. So this is, of course, Holy Quran is beautiful, but as was stated, you know, this poetic side and the mystical side, this is a particularly, at least for me, and I'm sure for you too, a beautiful question, as Allah gives us, makes it a rhetorical question. Really, you know, the obvious answer is none of the favors of my Lord will I deny. And he goes on to enumerate the many uncountable favors of Allah. You know, people get lost with their faith because something that they love is taken from them, or some opportunity, you know, some condition that they had, some situation that they had, a job or whatever, and you're not able to enjoy it anymore, be in that certain situation. But, you know, it's hard to get people to see. Sometimes it's hard to get ourselves to see that Allah wants for us the best, to trust God, to trust Allah for surely, and hold on to the rope of Allah, for surely it is the most trustworthy handhold that never breaks. It never breaks. And a brother that I met when I was really first coming into understanding of Al-Islam, he used to say to me, the rope of Allah is something that you have to let go. It won't let you go. It will never let you go. You have to break your grip, you know. So when we apply that to the things that we see, you know, in our world, sometimes it may be very frustrating. You know, we feel helpless, and so we don't want to feel hopeless. Sometimes being helpless makes you feel hopeless. But we have to understand that Allah is in charge. Allah in charge, that he was never absent. And as we said, sometimes the faith is tested. When people say, well, where was Allah? Where was Allah during this time? Where was Allah during slavery? Where was Allah, during the terrible situation in Yemen? You know, we focus on Palestine and the horrible things that are going on there, the genocide that's going on there, and the starvation. But Yemen is also facing similar starvation. Sudan, you know, the Congo, Haiti, facing very similar dire circumstances. And Kenyan troops are being sent into Haiti. You know, they'll often send people, you know, that look like you that look like us to carry out things that we would point to as being a symptom of global white supremacy, you know, imperialism, colonialism. Some of us have forgotten those words, you know, when we look upon those words, you know, people who have that that point of view, you know, they have a catch-all phrase that really wasn't created for that, but that they give now that you are woke. It's the woke culture. Huh? And the implication is they want you to go back to sleep. They want to lull you back to sleep, or at least snoozing, you know, so that you won't question the status quo. You won't question things. You'll say, you know, you'll play the song, Happy Days Are Here Again, you know. And certainly we have much to be thankful for, much to be grateful for. That is true. That's what the whole purpose of this theme is. You know, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Well, you can't even count them. We can't even count the favors of our Lord. You know, we can't count them. But, you know, our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he was called a liberator. A liberator, one like Moses. And, you know, he came into a similar situation of ignorance, profound ignorance, you know, Jahiliya Arabia, translated by some as the days of ignorance, or by others as the pre-Islamic Arabia, where the situation was ruled by people of great ignorance. And the situation can be seen today as being ruled by people of even greater ignorance. Those people were so ignorant, superstitious, you know. That was one of my favorite songs. And I saw Stevie Wonder appeared on the Democratic National Convention on their show. And that's what it is, a show. He was always one of my favorite artists. And he had a song called Superstition. When you believe in things that you don't understand and you suffer, superstition ain't the way. And many of us are still superstitious. You know, we rule by superstition. You know, we don't even realize it has become such a part of our existence. You know, it's become such a part of our existence. I'm just making a few notes here as I'm speaking to you, making a few notes for our Juma tomorrow that just came to me, you know. Superstition ain't the way. So many people take advantage. You know, the Imam Warathuddin Muhammad, Rahim Allah, you know, he used to explain to us how the witch doctor, they had witch doctors, so-called witch doctors on the continent of Africa, among the indigenous people here in America, witch doctors, you know. And they were merely people, men and some women too, you know, who had more insight into nature. They had more insight into nature. And because of that insight that they had, they would lord that advanced knowledge over the people who didn't have it. And that still goes on today, doesn't it? People who have more knowledge of the world, more education, you know, whether it be formal or informal education, you know. They were talking about, I was talking to my doctor, you know, the other day, and we were talking about different politicians, it doesn't matter who, but they were saying, oh, this person has this much education. This person has this degree. And they're a professional person. And they did this. And that's true. You know, it requires a certain amount of discipline. It requires discipline to make it through primary and secondary education, of course, more, to get your advanced degrees, et cetera, you know. And people will get a degree where they can, where now you have to call them doctor so-and-so, you know. And so, and they advertise that if you get a doctorate, you can charge a minimum of $1,000 appearance to go and speak, you know. And the man spoke, talked to us about people that use, you know, they call them $50 words, 10-syllable words. But, you know, James Brown spoke about talking loud and saying nothing. You know, you got people that can just, you know, it's like if you recall and being in school, you know, sometimes you would write an essay that you don't know anything about. You really hadn't mastered the subject matter so much. But the word, it had to be a 250-word essay or whatever the number was. And you would just go on and on and on using filler, putting in words just so that you could reach that goal. But you really wasn't advancing your argument that much or saying that much. No, you were just trying to get to the goal of so many words, you know. And that's how some of these politicians, that's how some of them appear, you know, when they speak to us, you know. We listen to them, and they just going on and on, what they call a word salad. they call word salad, you know. That's what it is. It's a word salad. It's just talking to be talking, you know, talking to be talking, but really not saying too much. That's why when we hear someone that is giving us a political discourse, but really they have a goal in mind. They're saying something that they've really thought deeply about. They're not just talking to be talking. You know, it catches our attention. And some of others, you know, the Quran talks about those who dazzle you with their speech. So they've got some other people that can dazzle you with their speech, and they're not saying nothing either. They're not really saying anything, or they're not really sincere, but they know how to frame things, you know. That's why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that, you know, you have to be careful, you know, especially in a situation like a courtroom situation, you know, where you have one side going against the other side, you know, one side trying to prove their side that this person is guilty, and the other person trying to prove their innocence, or, you know, that at least they're not guilty of the crime that they're being charged with, you know, and said that that person, you know, who has that, what they call the gift of gab, that they can sway you. They can make you think. That's why it's so important when we look at these different trials, criminal trials or civil trials, you know, things that we take for granted is important, like who goes first. You know, they try to make it seem like the criminal justice system is, well, it's not the best. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's the best. As if they're saying something. It's the best in the world. Well, the prosecutor goes first and last. The prosecutor's allowed, for an opening argument, the prosecutor goes first. You say, well, that's only, and I've talked to attorneys or whatever, and they say, well, that's true. But that's because they're charging you. They're the ones making the charge against you, so they have to make their case. But, you know, my father told me about fighting. He said sometimes the first punch is the only punch. Sometimes, you know, the first punch, you know, is the only one. And if you remember our great teacher, Master Moses Powell, may Allah forgive his sins, grant him paradise, great martial arts teacher. And he had the one-inch punch, you know. You have people that are knockout artists. They hit you one time, that's it. Because that one punch can make such an impression and do so much damage that you never recover. And then, in the closing arguments, they go last. So after you say everything that you said, they get the opportunity to go last. So they can say, oh, well, his defense attorney said this, but this is the answer for that. And you don't get a chance for rebuttal. Now, during the trial, you do. You have cross-examination, et cetera. But you see the point that I'm making. You see them for the way that when you set up rules and regulations in a fight, in a contest, that's why it's so important how heavy the gloves are, how big the ring is. Huh? If you're a person, if that person is a counterpuncher and they need room to maneuver and move around the ring, obviously a small ring wouldn't benefit them. So you think that there's people, you know, there's people that say, well, my fighter is so good. We don't care about that. But that goes on his manager. His manager is the one that's supposed to say, oh, no, my fighter has this particular style. Huh? He needs room, et cetera. I hope you understand what I'm saying. As the imam taught us, there's much that we can learn from these professional athletes, professional fighters. So you listen to New Day, Fall Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum, this is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab, here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waridduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waridduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. You know, we're grateful to Allah for CWSC and AM360. You know, for this platform to have the ability to be able to express ourselves, to bring our thoughts and ideas to the people, because the other media, what they call the mainstream media, you know, this is one of the favors of your Lord that we shouldn't deny and that we should support CWSC. We have to support CWSC and not just by listening in, tuning in, and spreading the word. We have to support it with our dollars, with our contributions. You know, if you want to have something, you have to support it. And we know that, this particular economic situation that we find ourselves in, you know, we find ourselves in a particular economic situation, a system, you know, and having that conversation with my doctor, and she was mentioning certain people that she saw as being promising, you know, promising in the political realm. You know, she mentioned Senator Warnock, and she mentioned Jamie Harrison, who was the head of the DNC, you know, as being a promising people coming up. And, you know, he's the head of Dr. King's church now, Raphael Warnock. And I asked her, you see a similarity between him and Dr. King, aside from the fact that they both preach at the church, the Abyssinian Baptist Church? She had to pause, you know, and she talked about the great speech that he gave, you know, and I concurred. Those who may dazzle you with their speech, they train for that. They train for that. That's not amazing to me that he gave a good speech. And we're all God's children. Oh, except we're not. None of us are God's children. God doesn't have any children. But he was able to rouse the people. Like my wife said, Oprah did a good job. That is her job. These are trained professionals. They're trained to do that. Okay. And the mayor spoke about the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Huh? How to Win Friends. So they study that. That's a field of study. How to win friends and influence people. They don't just get up there and, well, just talk from your heart. No. They're talking from their head. Huh? They're talking from their head. And the heart doesn't have to be good either. The heart is not always good. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, said, you know, there's a piece of meat. And if it's good, it's all good. And if it's bad, it's all bad. And that piece of meat is the heart. That piece of meat is the heart. You see? So the Quran also says, rank hatred have spewed forth from their mouths. What their hearts conceal is far worse. So don't fall for that. They have what they call divinity school that you go to learn how to become a preacher, a minister, they teach you enunciation. They teach you how to enunciate. They play on the heartstrings. Huh? They play on the heartstrings. You know, fire and brimstone. You know, and that's why in Al-Islam, the khutbah is supposed to be serious. It's supposed to be more teaching than preaching. Huh? Touch it on people's heartstrings, the emotions. And they say, you know, how to win friends and influence people. Get them to saying yes. Get them to saying yes. And you get people in the spirit of saying yes. And that's what we learned from what? The game that we used to play. The game that we used to play. Simon Says. Huh? Simon Says. And you lose if you don't hear Simon Says first, but they get you in the spirit. Simon Says, touch your toes. Simon Says, jump up and down. Simon Says, turn around. Simon Says, bark like a dog. Huh? Simon Says, do a deep knee bend. Simon Says, do a push-up. Do a jumping jack. Oh, you're out. Simon didn't say it. You did a jumping jack and Simon didn't say it. Huh? So they understand how to condition the mind. They understand how to condition the human being is like clay. Huh? The human being is like clay. He can be molded. She can be molded. I'm looking at 251-404. All right. Well, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
I mean, look, neither Jeff nor I are expected to go out there and say, hey, guess what?
251-404. All right. Let me get the one on your phone by after that. Is there something in the background?
So it's not go out there and tell us the things we want to do policy, but talk about the fact that this country is so much more important.
All right. I guess we picked that one by mistake. All right. We'll keep on going. We usually take questions a little bit later in the show. But perhaps they hit their button by mistake. If not, a call back. You see? So the conditioning, they condition you to do things. You're conditioned to do things, you know, and they don't really have a lot of respect for the intelligence of the people. 949-689, state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Well, alaikum assalam, brother. Mm-hmm. Melvin calling out of Georgia, the broader Atlanta area. How you doing, brother? Ramadan.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. I just wanted to say, add to what you had just said about Simon Says, and for those who don't know, the name Simon actually means listen. I just wanted to share that with you because it just adds to that whole game. Okay. All right. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Thank you. Yes. So, all right. Yeah. So they get you in the spirit of saying yes. They get you in the spirit of complying. You see, and this is just a little, it's a show. You have to understand that those conventions, the Republican Convention, the Democratic National Convention, these are organized show pieces. You have people that put them together just like they put together the Grammys or the Oscars. Huh? They don't just, it's just not to go out there and tell them, no, it has a certain format. Here's one woman who she appears on The View, and I've always known that she wasn't very bright. These are people that they hold up in front of us, or they put them on a show on national television. They have a show, and they get paid big money. And this is a little bit, this is what she said at the convention when it was her turn to talk. When it was her turn to talk, this is what she said. Let's see if we can get her on here.
Hell, Kamala Harris, she likes dogs. And my dog just likes her. Dogs are good judges of character. So are cats. We cannot elect a president who does not like dogs or hangs around with people who shoot them. And you know,
now she thought that was a drop the mic. She thought that was a drop the mic. Her statement, you know, here we are trying to elect a person that's allegedly the most powerful person in the world, and she wants you to know that her dog likes her, and she likes her dog. And they put this woman on primetime television. You know, one thing that I learned, that Allah blessed me to go in, you know, the religion of Al-Islam is so important, so powerful, you know. It sends you to places that you would never dream that you would go. As a young man coming up at being selected by our community in our masjid to be the imam, you know, you get invitations to go places and to rub elbows with people, you know, congressmen, you know, and all types of people, political people, other religious leaders. And you say, wow, I feel a little uneasy being in their company. I'm not as intelligent as these people. I'm not as well-rounded. I'm not as well-traveled. I'm not as educated as these people. And then you get in their company and you say, my God, huh? My God. You know, when I had an office one time in a building, I was the only I wasn't the only African-American in the building, but I was the only African-American that had an office in that building. The others, they were working in other people's offices. So there was a insurance company next door to me, and they did work for insurance companies. They did medical exams for insurance companies, you know. And the guy that was running the place, you know, one day he came to me and he gave me a brochure to attend a seminar for security companies that made a minimum of $50 million a year to $200 million. And I said, hey, I'm not making that kind of money. Why would I go? And he said to me, well, they won't know that unless you tell them. If you come there, you put your suit and tie on and you go there and keep your mouth shut, they have no choice but to assume that you are, that you do belong there. And the things that I learned in hearing them talk, it was quite the experience. It was quite an experience, you know. So you don't know what places you're going to be put in, you know. And the ma'am told us, you know, look, just have the courage to repeat the things that I say, even if you don't understand it fully. If you have the courage, and you have to have courage to repeat those things. The ma'am had to have courage. They challenged the ma'am, and they challenged us for our following of the ma'am. But guess what? They also challenged the followers of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They challenged him, you know. And when he said, when he talked about the ascension into the heavens and the night visit, you know, to Jerusalem, they said, "We know that that's your man. We know that you believe in him. What have you heard? What he's saying lately? Do you believe that?" And they said, "Absolutely, absolutely." You see, because there's people, as we've said many times, there's people, because of their limited knowledge of the subject matter, they think they have a wide scope on it. And they will say, "You people that believe in talking snakes." And they seek to ridicule you. They want to ridicule you. And they think that they believe that we believe in talking snakes. Huh? So they're able to put you down and say, come on. When you look at the foolishness in scripture, it's foolishness on the face of it. You know? And I heard another person, you know, they try to pick it apart. I heard another person say, oh, these are not good people. What kind of God wanted Abraham to kill his son? Told him to kill his son. Huh? These are the people that you follow behind? Huh? So that was his rationale for trying to dismiss religion. Trying to dismiss religion. And the brother was, a person was saying to me, trying to make that argument, that absurd argument, the ridiculous argument, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha when she was 6 years old or 9 years old, right? And he was saying, he was quoting, oh, I know your Quran. And he was quoting from Talaq, divorce. And he was saying, those who are, of course he was misquoting, who don't have their monthly courses. And of course, it's talking about women who are in menopause. Well, he was pointing to that, saying, you know, to divorce your wives that they haven't gotten their menopause yet; they're that young. And it came to me, you know, why are you debating with this person about divorce when the Quran tells you who is eligible for marriage. You talk about divorce. And I told him, if you were half as knowledgeable as you thought you were, you wouldn't be talking about that from that perspective. 706-627. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
Yes, salam alaikum. It's Brother Muhammad from the Ummah, Prophet Muhammad, by the way of Columbus, Georgia. I mean, Hanover, Georgia. But anyway, the most important thing, like Allah is always showing, he says, well, I'm the creator of all that you see and hear, don't hear, and everything like that. And these people who come to you, who I have given them the same opportunity that you do, I created them, I give them a free will, and they know what I tell them is correct. But the reason why they are not and contending with you is because of the whispers of the shaitan, their open enemy, who they, knowingly or unknowingly, have become a part of his logic and rationale. And so why do we argue with him? Why do we just do like what Allah say, Allah tells us, just deliver the message? Because every one of them has the same opportunity that I give you, those of you who believe. Y'all are just responding with your free will that I have given you to see what you not yet see, but you know is waiting on you. We know that the victory is already there for us. We know we're going to another reality once our physical reality reaches its goal where Allah has intended for it to go. And then from there, you know, but Satan, like Imam Muhammad told us, you know, he will do anything to distract you, paying attention to the same opportunity that he had, but he, with his own free will, evolved his intellect into being equal to Allah and think that he had a right to the ask for sharing or being in charge of not only his creation but the best of creation, which is us. So we already know he'd already experienced whatever Allah has let him experience dealing with the other created things before us, you know, and himself. So we had to stay focused and turn back around to the Qibla, because from the Qibla that Allah gave us to turn to, there's no contention, there's no argument. There's nothing but help, encouragement, motivation, inspiration, because we're looking into something that does not question the law, you know, and we're trying to learn how to not to do that our own self, too. But Shaitan wants us to question and get into a dialogue with him, like they always say. He will talk you into hell. If you listen to the Shaitan and his logic and rationale, he will talk any human being who's listening into the hellfire with him. So we have to be mindful of that as we teach ourselves first, and then share this information with some people who Shaitan has already blocked their opportunity to hear what Allah says, to be able to read the final revelation of the Quran, to read about all the other revelations that they was also have been denied over thousands of years from hearing the word and guidance from Allah SWT that used with their own free will to go forward. We are in a model, people, though we not have the physical modelization, and people, but we've already demonstrated with the honorable Elijah Muhammad, the social reform. We've already established the clear way by Imam Waqif Muhammad. And then all of the brothers and sisters in the past who stood up for the truth and made sacrifices to make sure that we got it now in full course, you know, then that's who we need to remember. They ain't gone nowhere. You know, we just need to quit listening to ourselves. We need to quit listening to the Shaitan who invites us to listen to what his logic is to say about our, about us, and we'll find that we'll start spending our money, spending our time, spending our life. Like Allah said, who will give me a beautiful loan? Allah said, who will lend their life back? Who will give their life back to me for the sake of going forward and having what I promised you that's already waiting on you? Just want to say that.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum as-salam. All right. You listen to New Day Father Islam in America, America Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. So we have some more important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We will be back in a while.
As-salamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297 Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at CWSC.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. All right, 636-980. State your name. Where you calling from, please?
Yes. First, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you and all of us. The peace be only Almighty God can give. Imam Muhammad stated, may Allah grant him the highest station in the Jannah. He said, you should ask Allah for the courage to follow me. You should pray to Allah and ask him to give you the courage to follow me. Now, let me give a few examples. First, we have to know what has happened in a historical context. The Islamic, what we call Islamic world, but the Middle East was colonized by Western influences and Western powers. They influenced the educational system. Imams couldn't give the clear al-Islam. Matter of fact, in some countries now, the imam will be placed under arrest if he gives the Islam in its purest context. So what we are seeing coming from out of the Islamic world is the residue of that colonization is still there, is still in the institutions. To give you an example, how we have to have the courage, Imam Muhammad has stated to us concerning attending the Jummah prayer, one of the most significant portions of the Salat. He said, do not wear anything with writing on it.
Yeah.
Do not wear anything with writing on it, because it will take people's attention from off of the Quran and the imam that is delivering the khutbah. Now, there have been some, you hear kind of a pushback on that. Brother, you know what I'm saying? We have to have the courage, because the imam is giving us the clarity, the clear al-Islam. Matter of fact, the Muslim world was calling it just Islam. It was Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. and the study of the Quran and the Arabia that informs
That's right.
the Muslim world that Allah has named this faith Al-Islam. So that's an example of clearing away the residue, the effects of being colonized by Western powers that took over the educational systems in the Islamic world. So you will hear pushback, but he said you should ask Allah to give you the courage to follow me and don't fear the criticism of the criticizers. So I'll stop right there. That is the value of our beloved Imam Wahid. Why is the Islamic world behind everyone else? It should be in the forefront of science, technology, physics, all of these things. But they had been colonized. And their educational systems, even in the religious practices, were influenced by the colonizers that colonized the Islamic world. And Allah had blessed the Ummah with the clarity and the insight of Imam Wahid Muhammad to clarify what is Al-Islam and what is not, the foreign influences that have infected the Ummah. So I stop right there, my brother, and I pray that we have the courage to follow Imam Wahid Muhammad and deliver the clarity of Al-Islam. Thank you, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, Brother Ibrahim. Alhamdulillah, yes. So this is very important with the things that he brought out. I was having a conversation with one of the imams the other day, and we were speaking about how Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahimullah Alay has brought to our attention certain themes and ways of thinking. And then when we didn't adopt it or we didn't pick it up, he just left it alone. That doesn't mean that he didn't see it as valuable any longer, you see? It doesn't mean he didn't see it as valuable any longer. But he saw that we weren't seeing the value in it. So when he saw that the community didn't take to the concept of Bilalian, you know, when we didn't take to the concept, he saw that there was so much pushback on the word Mujaddid, the revival of religion. He didn't say, I made a mistake. No, he said, there's so much pushback and it causes so much consternation, not among us, but among the rest of the Muslim world. He said, leave it alone. Leave it alone, you see? But doesn't mean he wasn't the Mujaddid, the revival of religion. He certainly was, as our beloved Imam Kareem just said. You know, we take for granted the things that he gave us. We have to have the courage. It took courage to say that you follow Imam Wahid Muhammad. You know, particularly within the prisons now, there was a whole, and not now, but for years, they were saying they didn't want to allow the Muslim Journal. The inmates didn't want to allow the Muslim Journal into the prison. Can you imagine that? They didn't want to allow it into the prison. You know, they didn't want, one brother said to me, look at that Muslim Journal. You know, it's got the American flag on it. Got the American flag. Why would we bring it? But it also has the Quran as a flag on there. And the Imam said, if you all don't have the courage to pick up this flag, I'll pick it up. Huh? And I remember in the aftermath of 9/11, you know, I had a American flag in my car. And the brother said to me, brother, why would you have that American flag? That's shirk. I said, wow. So you think that my owning the American flag is tantamount to me worshiping the American flag? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what shirk is, holding up partners with Allah. That's what you really believe? Huh? Yes. I'm wondering where, I mean, you believe that I believe that I'm holding it up as worship? You got to be kidding. You're serious about that. Huh? And so the brother said to me about Imam Muhammad, he sold out his birthright. Can you imagine that? He sold out his birthright. Well, I didn't take that too kindly. You know, I didn't take that too kindly. And I demanded that he clarify his position and that he back it up with evidence. He couldn't do that. He couldn't do that, you know. And others have said that. Or he destroyed what his father built. He destroyed what his father built. We had the stores, and we had this, and we had that. And the imam explained to us that we had a facade of that. Of many of those stores, it was a good first step to get us into thinking entrepreneurship, but those stores weren't really standing on their own bottom. Some of those stores were being held up by contributions. That's not business. Every tub has a stand on its own bottom. Your business should bring in enough money to sustain it, not get donations. Not donations. And that's why it's so important what Imam Adam was talking about, Graceline, having a credit union. We have our own credit union. We have our own criterion for loaning money. Not theirs, not going to other people that don't think like us and having to bend ourselves into pretzels to make ourselves look like we're credit worthy. There's one brother that I look at that he says, well, you know, banking is neither black nor white, it's green. Well, we know that that hasn't been always true. We know that there was, you forgot another color, red. Redlining, where if you came from a certain area, you were denied a mortgage just because that's where you lived. So it's easy to say it's not black and white, it's green. And we know that they were given subprime mortgages. I was given one, regardless as to your credit worthiness. So we don't have all of that time to go. Yes. You still there?
Yes, sir. Just want to say right quick that we had to talk clear like you do. You were very clear talking, a servant of Allah, and thank you a lot much for that. See, like the word colonization, we just sugarcoating that, not saying there's anything bad about what Imam Kareem was saying. But what I'm saying, we have to quit talking in a mock room or smoke type orientation when we had to talk clear Quran. See, because colonization, we know it only comes about when they come in saying that God had a son, and they try to prove their skin color superiority or whatever, and then before you know it, they got control of the people's resources. Colonization can be of the mind.
We only have a few seconds. Thank you. I got to close out.
I just hope everybody realizes that our problem is we're not talking clear. Imam left us. He said, y'all are ready now.
Gotta go.
Study the Arabic. Talking to Arabic.
All right. You've been listening to the Brief of Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and we pray that you have a blessed Jummah tomorrow. We thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in with your questions and comments. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.